back to the New World next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. What happens to the internet on October 1st? We've got that story, plus the latest on America's Next Top President. And really, all our stories this week are about dates and times, because in a lot of ways, it's later than you think. Obama extends 9/11 state of emergency for his eighth, and we can only assume, final time. Consistent with Section 202D of the National Emergencies Act, I am continuing, for 1 year, the national emergency previously declared on September 14, 2001, in Proclamation 7463, with respect to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and the continuing and immediate threat of further attacks on the United States. Because the terrorist threat continues, the national emergency declared on September 14, 2001, and the powers and authorities adopted with it to deal with the emergency must continue in effect beyond September 14, 2016. Therefore, Barry Satorio is continuing in effect for an additional year the national emergency that was declared on September 14, 2001, with respect to the terrorist threat. This notice shall be published in the Federal Register and transmitted to the Congress. I checked earlier, it has not yet been published on the Federal Register, but you can find that whole piece. And you can go back to 2009 on MediaMonarchy.com, where I posted about Obama extending, for the first time, Bush's 9/11 national emergency. And if that wasn't a huge wake-up call at that time, I think, for the hope and change annoia, I don't know if it was going to really work for anybody. So, eight times running, James.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's that time of year. You can feel summer getting long in the tooth. You can feel the winds changing. It's getting, the leaves are turning. It's almost fall. And yes, it's time for the annual ritual of extending the national emergency. So here we go for, as you say, the eighth time running under Obama after eight times under Bush, and however many times under the next puppet. I think this is one of those stories that really puts into crystal clear focus left, right, doesn't matter, Coke, Pepsi, vote whoever you want, it ain't gonna change, because the deep state runs the show. So, just for people who don't really know what this is about, or the significance of it, I'll throw in a couple of links. One is to a 911truth.org article that was run in 2009 by Peter Dale Scott and Dan Hamburg. To all readers, help force Congress to observe the law on national emergencies, which says, on 9/11, the Bush administration declared a state of emergency, which was formally proclaimed on September 14th, 2001, and extended by Bush repeatedly thereafter, most recently on August 28th, 2008. Of course, this, again, coming in March 2009. Under cover of this SOE, Bush secretly enacted many extreme measures, ranging from suspension of habeas corpus to preparations for martial law in America. All of these were undertaken as part of so-called continuity of government procedures associated with the SOE and first instituted on 9/11. The National Emergencies Act, one of the post-Watergate reforms so detested by Vice President Cheney, who, of course, worked on the continuity of government with Rumsfeld for decades, requires specifically that, not later than 6 months after a national emergency is declared and not later than the end of each six-month period thereafter that such emergency continues, each House of Congress shall meet to consider a vote on a joint resolution to determine whether that emergency shall be terminated. Well, that was 2009, where they were arguing for this, during the hope and change in Leia. Hey, it's a new president, maybe it'll all change. Well, as you see, nothing's changed, and Congress still has not met even once in the 15 years now that we're going into this national emergency. And there's a follow-up that I'll put in the show notes as well, The Deep State Behind U.S. Democracy from VoltaireNet, which was an interview with Peter Dale Scott, where he was talking about this in 2010, after Obama did extend the emergency, in which he said that he'd been told off the record by congressmen that the National Emergencies Act doesn't apply in the case of continuity of government operations. So, no, Congress will never, has never, and will never approve this. It has nothing to do with Congress. This is the outright takeover of the U.S. government by the deep state, which was already running the show. But now it is formally in control, and they shove it in your face every single year and say, what are you going to do about it, folks? Vote left, vote right, vote puppet A, vote puppet B. We're the ones calling the shots. And here it is in writing, delivered to you and signed on your doorstep every single year.
I even found myself thinking about the play on words there of state of emergency. We talk about, you know, the state and statists. That is their business. Their business is good when it's emergency. It's all based on sort of the order out of chaos. And I think a lot of times, yeah, when we look at the words, it'll actually kind of telegraph exactly what's going on. So there's a lot of chatter slowly building, and as we noted for this episode 282 of New World Next Week, it's just now cracking September 1st as you're watching this episode. U.S. set to relinquish internet stewardship on October 1st when the Obama administration announced its plan to give up U.S. protection of the internet back in 2014. It promised the United Nations would never take control. But because of the administration's naivete or arrogance, UN control is the likely result if the U.S. gives up its internet stewardship as planned at midnight on September 30th. Without the U.S. contract, ICANN, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, would seek to be overseen by another governmental group so as to keep its antitrust exemption. Authoritarian regimes have already proposed ICANN become part of the UN to make it easier for them to censor the internet globally. Perhaps in its arrogance, the administration knew all along ICANN would lose its antitrust immunity and look to the United Nations as an alternative. Congress, here they are again, could have voted to give ICANN an antitrust exemption, but the internet giveaway plan too flawed for legislative approval. The only thing worse than a monopoly, as this article notes, and I'll tell you where it's coming from in just a moment. The only thing worse than a monopoly overseen by the U.S. government is a monopoly overseen by a web-censoring United Nations. Congress still has time to extend its ban on the Obama administration giving up protection of the internet. So this comes from the Wall Street Journal. Now, if you start to Google, you'll find, or start to start page, or whatever controlled or uncontrolled search engine you like, you're still going to find the same article saying, we're giving away the internet. What are we going to do? So I'll include the Wall Street Journal article, and I'll also include Snopes, because they just say, despite what critics charge, the U.S. isn't giving away the internet, but relinquishing control over a critical component of its infrastructure.
Not a trivial difference. Not a trivial difference. In fact, I'm pleasantly surprised Snopes is making the point that I was going to make in all of this. So good. Yes, it's not the internet. They don't control the internet. They're controlling the DNS system, the domain name system. And what is that? I'll throw in a link for people who don't know what that is, How IT Works, Domain Name System by Regis Donovan. I'll throw that in the links if you really want to read about it. But essentially, it's a phone book. And you have to have a centralized way of controlling, you know, who gets what phone number, essentially. But all it is converting your 77.234.176.99 into MediaMonarchy.com so people can type MediaMonarchy.com and get to your website. Well, it's not that essential to the functioning of the internet. I mean, we've certainly incorporated it to the point where people would probably never go to any other system, but That's what it is. It's essentially a phone book. So if only there was a way to organize something like that in a decentralized manner without having centralized control by a body like isn't that exactly what blockchain technology is about? Decentralized ledgers? So if only there was a way that we could use a decentralized blockchain-based ledger to create an alternative DN. Oh, wait, it's already been done. .bit is a top-level domain that is not managed by ICANN. It is managed on a blockchain, the Namecoin blockchain, and is administered in a decentralized fashion. There's no possible way that the ICE or any other government agency can come in and seize a .bit domain because there's nothing to seize because it's decentralized. That is the real answer here. And I've already done an interview on this. Interview 846 back in 2014, the censorship solution with Michael Dean, where we talked about the .bit top-level domain and how it works and why it's important and why it makes DNS irrelevant. It does not matter if it's UN-controlled or anything else because it is uncensorable. Obviously, I think we need to update this for this upcoming October 1st handover to make people aware of what this is about and what the solution really is. So I will be getting Michael Dean back on the show, I hope, to continue talking about that and update us about .bit. But that's what this is really about. And so, yes, I mean, this is an important story, but it's important to know there is a solution. There is an alternative.
But that's not ultimately where kind of controlled conversations want to go. So was it last week or the week before we were talking about MacGuffins? We were talking about red herrings. Is this another situation where all the internet and all the different groups that call themselves all the different things get all up in arms about the wrong thing, maybe?
In a way, because it's always, always looking back to centralized control. Oh, well, we want centralized control in the hands of the U.S. government, not in the hands of the U.N. Hello, anybody listening? That does not make the fundamental difference. We want decentralized systems that do not rely on that central control. So yes, fundamentally, people have to get out of the mindset that they're in and realize there are solutions that are being worked on. They do require a bit of technical knowledge to understand how they're working, but honestly, if we don't put in that time and effort, then people who don't put in the time and effort deserve what they get. We'll put it that way.
So to make a media analogy, which is the way I usually kind of put things, I don't know if we should leave links to it. There's a fantastic British show that was called The IT Crowd, and it skewered corporate culture and popular culture and tech, all of those things. One of the running gags throughout the series is that they trick their boss into thinking a little box is the internet. And no, she thinks that if, you know, you hide the internet, oh, let's hide. That seems like what this story is. They think the internet is just this box and it's this singular thing that we could turn it off or on or hand over, you know, control to one place or the other. Our last story about times and dates and schedules on This New World Next Week, episode 282. Homeland Security wants to take over elections as critical infrastructure. Even before the FBI identified new cyber attacks on two separate state election boards, the Department of Homeland Security, coincidentally and fortunately for them, began considering declaring the election a critical infrastructure, giving it the same control over security it has over fantastic things like Wall Street and the electric power grid. The latest admissions of attacks could speed up that effort, possibly including the upcoming presidential election, according to officials. Quote, we should carefully consider whether our election system, our election process, is critical infrastructure like the financial sector, like the power grid. There's a vital national interest in our election process, so I do think we need to consider whether it should be considered by my department and others critical infrastructure. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said at a media conference 1 month ago, hosted by the Christian Science Monitor. So the fantastic thing is they're a month ahead of these hack attacks that they get to announce as America's next top president slowly, slowly heats up, James. So this is another situation where, I don't know, there's this ticking time bomb down to a thing that's not really what everybody thinks it is.
Yeah, basically. And this is a nice, I mean, this is a nice kind of bow on the whole episode here, because we have the deep state coming out in the you know, this state of emergency and saying, hey, we rule you, and we have the misdirection. The UN is taking over the internet, which is a misdirection, and here we have really the sort of formalization of the deep state and the misdirections they run in the new paradigm. It's not going to just be terrorist attacks, it's going to be cyber terrorist attacks that are then going to be used, false flag terrorist attacks that are then going to be used to claw in all these powers for the deep state. The deep state already runs the elections, but now they're just formalizing it, and here we go, we're going to be in control, and the Department of Homeland Security is there, going to be there on the scene, right? So this is, I mean, it's quite obvious what's going on here. There's going to be virtual false flag attacks on various election systems until people go, oh, what will we ever do? We need someone to take over the system. And again, I think, like the second story, the real answer is to not participate in the vote for rigged elections that change nothing fundamentally. You know what? If you really want to vote for one or the other of Team Coke or Team Pepsi, go for it. I couldn't care less, because your vote will not change a single thing, even if it was the deciding vote between Team Left and Team Right. It still won't change a thing. And by the way, your vote will not be the deciding vote. But anyway, go ahead and vote. But please, please, for the rest of the 4 years, don't just sit there and watch this as some sort of competitive sport. Oh, my team is winning, my team is losing, my team is doing this, my team is doing that. Please actually participate in the real world, in things that you can actually do and participate in with other human beings, and use that as your leverage in this world, rather than your vote as having any meaning or significance whatsoever. It's because we invest all of this false consciousness in the voting process that people care so much about this. Ultimately, this isn't even an important story, because the votes are already rigged. It changes nothing. Do things that actually accomplish something in the real world.
James, I think you and I have gotten pretty good at this. So, you know, when we do our year-end episodes, we sort of, the gimmick of our year-end episodes is that you and I don't tell each other what we're going to talk about as sort of the trends of the year and perhaps predictions of the upcoming year. When I sent you the notes for this episode, I continued to add a couple of notes myself. You basically kind of just went on the rant I had already kind of piped out to basically say the joke is the state of emergency gives the state a pretext to do what it already does. And no matter what happens on October 11th, all our tech devices are cracked and hacked by design in the first place, with privacy being mostly a theater, and the federal elections are rigged well before the day they let you think you have something to do with it every 4 years. So even to add on to this pile, and we'll wrap up this Neural Next Week episode very soon, U.S. News and World Report just wrote, quote, a candidate's death could delay or eliminate the presidential election. So not a good batch of stories as our summer rage gets ready to hope and change into a fall of a possible empire. So some of the other ways we're not winning, and some of the other headlines we're watching, hashtag New World Next Week. Popular herbal supplement cures pain, so the DEA makes it illegal. Friendface fires all their human editors, and the algorithm immediately starts posting fake garbage news. TPP criticism grows, and Obama plans a lame duck sneak attack. But it's not all bad news. There is a new Good News Next Week episode with book hunting, attractive altruism, and community disaster relief. And James, I want to thank you for stopping by the Morning Monarchy last week, buddy. I'm live every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. And I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the podcast. And this, as the summer of rage, hope, and changes into a fall of the empire, that's beautiful. Like, that's poetry. Excellent. Let's leave it there. I couldn't say it better myself. All right, let's tie a bow on it. Let's do it again next week. James, thanks for three great stories.
Thanks.